Amen. Can we pick our Bibles and pick a text as we stand up, as the custom of the bride is worldwide? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, see we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I underline in my Bible, cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. May the Lord have blessed the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at the topic I titled, The Besetting Sin. Besetting Sin. Amen. The besetting sin. Again, Apostle Paul writing to the Hebrews. I read it again. He said, wherefore, see, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside. Now he said, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There is a weight we have. And there is also a sin we have. Somebody, I'm talking to somebody. And whoever that person is. The Lord ministered this to me in the early morning hours today. Whoever that person, this exhortation is, I pray that today you will receive restoration in the name of Jesus. There is a weight. When you carry a weight on you, there's a heaviness. Because of the heavy weight, the weight you have, it disturbs your movement. You cannot move forward with the speed you will want to move. And also, your own may not be a weight, it may be a sin. A weight here may be a distraction, a burden you may have. A heavy heart causes your heart to be too heavy to do anything spiritual. A frustration that comes upon you until you cannot move forward spiritually as you ought to. And also a sin. That any time you want to move forward spiritually, it draws you back. You pick up again, you want to move forward, it draws you back. That is the besetting sin. They are the hindrances, the besetting sin. And those words, they are the hindrances. Things that hinder you to enter into the promised land. And the promised land is the kingdom of God. When I say the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom? I have told you two of them. Anytime the Bible speaks about the kingdom of God, is from these two areas. One, because I told you that there is a foretaste of the glory of God. In Luke chapter 17, verse 21, it says, the kingdom of God coming up by observation. There. Where is the kingdom of God? Let them not say it is in bride assembly. It is in any church, anywhere. He said, for the kingdom of God is where? He said, it's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And Apostle Paul clarified it. Why? Jesus Christ said, it is within you. Because in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, the definition of the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. and peace and joy. We are in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And righteousness and peace and joy, they are all within you. When you can experience true righteousness and life pleasing before God with ease, you are not struggling to live a life pleasing God. When you experience a peace all around you, joy all around you that comes by the Holy Ghost, the joy that comes by the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, cannot be disturbed, because it is not a joy that comes because you have received a contract. That type of joy is different. The peace that is in the Holy Ghost, that comes by the Holy Ghost, does not come because people are not fighting you around you. You don't have enemies. No. It is because there is something that happens within you that lifts you above the realm of these worldly afflictions. Every time is joy and peace. And not too many people can experience that. Why? Because there are hindrances that will stop you from living a life of righteousness. Hindrances that will stop you, disturb your peace as a Christian. The joy of the Lord is taken away from you. And every time you are here murmuring and grumbling and grumbling and murmuring, praise the Lord. Always remember that from the journey from Egypt to the promised land, the wilderness journey, blessed be the name of the Lord, a lot of people could not get to the promised land. Take note that it was not the enemy outside that stopped Israel from entering the kingdom. The enemy was within. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you read it from verse 1 to 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 12, it was lust, lusting after evil things. It was idolatry. It was fornication. It was murmuring. All within the camp. The Moabites could not stop them from going in. Every battle, God came down and fought for them. Amen. The Philistines could not stop them. The Canaanites could not stop them. The people at the city of Jericho could not stop them. Every battle, hallelujah, once God spoke, He, God, watches over His word to perform it. Nothing external can stop the purpose of God in your life. Take note of it. That's why Balaam could not curse Israel. Only Balaam knew the secret of how a true child of God can suffer. How a true child of God will not make it, will be suffering frustration. The only thing is, get that seed of God to have problem with his God. So that now he and God will fight. But as for him, from outside, which is wizard, whatever it is, you can never touch me, because, hallelujah, there is a covenant. He, God, has predestined me somewhere. And he has blessed me with his word of blessings. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. It is thus said the Lord. But, hallelujah, within, the problems we create for ourselves. Read that in that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and you see what Apostle Paul was saying and telling us that they were there for example for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the kingdom of God, the second kingdom of God, of course, is the millennium, the 1,000 years reign of Christ. That there are certain lifestyle you live that you cannot enter into the kingdom. So here within you, no peace, no joy. And then again, the rapture will strike. You cannot go. Because only those who will go in the rapture will come back and reign in his kingdom for 1,000 years here on earth. And so, you begin to meditate on what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for instance, taking that as an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is the way Apostle Paul put it. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That is why I took time to make you understand what the kingdom of God is. These are the people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Now it's now looking at believers who are fornicators and yet they want to inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators, nor idolaters, idol worshippers. It's not the idol your village, it's talking about. Christians, and yet you are an idol worshipper. No adulterers, no effeminate, no abusers of themselves with mankind, lesbians, homosexuals, gay, no thieves. You take anything that does not belong to you, you are a thief. You will never enter into the kingdom. No covetous, no drunkards, no revelers, no extortioners. None of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you will know why you say you're a Christian and certain things suffering you should not suffer. You are suffering it. And let us be very, very sincere with ourselves. Sometimes you are not sincere with yourself. You know you are born again. And you begin to see fight, no peace everywhere. War, battle, everywhere around you. Amen. Stop taking your eyes to an evil uncle anywhere. Look inward. What's my relationship with God? What's their estate with God, my spiritual estate? Is it not written that if a man's way please the Lord, that he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies? Begin to ask yourself. God himself asked that question. In Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 22. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why are you not receiving deliverance? You have been a member of this church for how many years? Your condition has not changed. Why is this so? And some of you are quick to send some funny text message. Pastor Moses, I challenge your God. It's my God, now it's not your God. So, he has no business with you. He's my God. So you know I have a God. I challenge your God. Pastor Moses, is there still God? Is there anything too hard for God to do? Why is my situation like this? Pastor Moses, please look into it. It's not Pastor Moses that will look into it. You are the one to look into it. Because he said there is balm in Gilead. There's a physician there. Then why are you not receiving healing? This is what? Does he not promise us that by his stripes we are healed? Did he not go to the cross and break the covenant there? Where is that demon saying that forever I remain covenanted with you? Are you sure you are broken from that spirit? He said that I have received what I baptism. I have done this. Hey, you have, Abby. It was God himself that told Jacob, now you are free. You can leave Laban and go and get your independence. Yes, the independence now. You serve your master for how many years? Now, according to the law, he's settling you now. You are coming to give money at the altar, thanking him. Jacob left with his family, but something necessitated Laban to chase him. Why? He was holding Laban's idol. Okay? Take note of that. You are hearing me for the first time. So, Laban had a right. No one could stop him. But the mercy of God, because of Jacob, because it is not Jacob that committed the sin. Jacob was not aware. If Jacob had known, you know it wouldn't have happened. That is why in the night, while Laban was planning to go and kill and frustrate him and destroy him, God visited Laban in a dream. Come, anything you want to go and do, be careful. Don't hurt him. Now the thing will cool him, that when he woke up, he chased him how many days' journey, pursuing him. Why are they always pursuing you? Look inward. In that your house there may be an accosting there. You may not be the one, sister, but you may not be the one. It may be your wife that has it. You may not be the one, sister, it may be your husband that has it. Your husband was an occultic man before. He said he's delivered now, but some of that property may still be hiding somewhere there. They will come. Sister, uncle, you say you are born again. You are even in a ministry like this. And you want to continue to come on her and put that attachment. Ha! Wait, that sister, why you come out your own? Well, that sister, why is it when you come out your home? Now you? For night? For night. Friday night at the altar.
Yes, sir.
Were you the one?
Yes.
I don't feel recognized you again. You have removed it?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. When did you remove it?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. When you remove it, something happened. What happened?
Yes, sir.
What happened?
When I removed it, immediately, something that was disturbing me inside my brain, the thing stopped.
You see? Oh! No, I didn't see it in a vision, no, but I knew it must happen. But it's very important, I say this, for all of us to take note. And something happened, there was an experience she had. Somebody came and pulled your hair or something like that. I don't know what you say happened. Eh? What happened?
Praying for. When I came, you said they should pray for me in the altar.
On Tuesday?
So on Tuesday, after praying, that night, I was in a dream. Somebody's hand came. It was drawing my head off. So immediately when I woke up, I started feeling as if I want to run mad.
Yes. Okay, that's what you sent to me.
Yeah, and secondly, when you anointed me here, I got home where I was working before. What actually that was happening to me? Anywhere I get work, I'll have problem there. They will just send me off.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem I have been facing for years. If I start work now, they will sack me.
Uh-huh.
For no reason. So they called me back.
They call you back?
Yes.
Oh, after the anointing.
Yes.
Now listen. Now, she came out to see me, to pray for her here at the altar. And I said, let me anoint that hair. When she opened her scarf, I saw attachment. And the first thing I did, who was the person I was calling? Imani or so. Imani, hey. You know, I was very angry. I said, somebody prayed for this sister on Tuesday. Didn't that person see that thing on the hair? That's why I insisted I wanted to see the minister that prayed for her on Tuesday. Look, we are deliverance ministers. Why do you want to waste your time shouting at a demon that you know will not go? She was standing here, and I saw it. I said, you know what your problem is now? Go and remove that hair. And you will receive your deliverance. I didn't pray for her. But I knew that because I said so, the demon may come strongly. That is why I only anointed her. I said, go and remove that and come and see me today. Because I know, once you remove their property, they have no right again over you. This is a secret a lot of people don't know. Now, if you love that attachment, church, listen, this ministry here, it's a mystery that you need to understand. I say it with all humility. And I'm saying it confidently because I know that that is the order. Church, listen. Why do you think two people, I'm using as an example, two people calling upon God, one will go and commit sin and come back, God will flog the person, deal with you one way or the other. Another one, he will withdraw his peace from you. Another one, even your prayer partner, Papa, is even more anointed than you. They pray more. He go and commit the same sin. Nothing will happen to him. Nothing will happen to him. It's a mystery. Does it mean that God sanctioned it? It will even increase the anointing on that person. It's a mystery. Listen. God applies a principle. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Verse 18. Matthew 18:18. Let's read it. I have said this before. Listen. Go to Matthew 16 first. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This scripture here is talking about casting out devils. This scripture in chapter 16 is talking about deliverance. Bind you, I loose you, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, chapter 18 now. Verse 18. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 18. This is what he said. Let's read from verse 16. Remember, this story here is if a brother offends you, how you should treat it. Go to him first and settle it. If he refuses, go before, take another person and go as a witness. If he refuses, then bring him before the elders of the church. If it doesn't work, then verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a needy man, a publican. Now verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Next verse, 19. Verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So you see here, it's talking about agreement. The binding here is we agree to do something. It will be agreed in heaven. If we decide to lose the agreement, it will be lost in heaven. Now, this church here, This is what we agree here as our understanding of holiness, without which no man can see God. This is what this church started with. This is why you came here and you joined. This is what we stood for. Concerning holiness. Here, we don't believe that women should wear trousers. It is agreed in heaven. Now, in Christ's embassy, they have agreed that it doesn't matter. Heaven, back it up. The two of us, we shall meet that day there. And we will know who was right and who was wrong. But for now, it is what you want, he will give you. Remember the story of Esther. Whatever those maidens wanted from the chamberlain, he gave them. So, if you want to serve God, sister, wearing trousers, why are you coming here? You can never be blessed in this place. Nobody tells you the truth like this. I love you. I want you to be blessed. You're in the right place. Go to Christ's embassy. Go to Winners. Go to Redeem. Go to people to show anointing. Here, you're wasting your time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't believe that women should paint their face. We don't believe that women should paint their nail, paint all this. We don't believe that women should wear earrings. Hallelujah. We don't believe that. We don't believe that a Christian should go and drink alcohol. Whether it be a parlor or your own parlor for your house. We don't believe that a man should beat his wife. We don't believe, hallelujah, that a man can have more than one wife. A Christian man go and marry another one. We don't believe in it. Here, we don't believe that our gift is to be used for money. We don't believe that. Watch it. None of them that charge anybody money, any gifted brother and sister here, that charging money, listen to me, listen very well. You will confirm it. If you don't confirm, you are not just being honest with yourself. None of that money ever gets useful to you. As you collect and I saw it, they go. If you take and buy a car, watch that car. Trouble today, trouble tomorrow. Police arrest you today. FRC arrest you, SSL, police, custom, everybody, anywhere that car, and I suspect. No peace. Let me tell you, sister, that you are here. You are a single sister in this place. You are looking for a husband. Before you marry, you sleep with him. Watch. Marry now. You don't go marry. What happened? What happened? Delay to them. Money right there. And the thing will stop. That's why we are going to sleep. Chop. Why? You are in an atmosphere where that is abomination. It will never work for you. That marriage will never work. And if you smuggle and do the marriage, by going outside, do anything, it will be fight. No peace. Until God decides to have mercy on you. See, I am saying this so that you will have a rethink before you make this place your church. There are some of you that this is, you are in a wrong address. Very wrong address. Praise the Lord. Hey, they don't like what I am saying. I will say it. Is there no bomb in Gilead? Why is your condition not changing? We have the anointing here. Unbelievers will come. Chop. get what they want, they go. That's why you are a believer, part of this place. And your condition will not change. Instead of you to look inward, you are jumping from prophet to prophet. You are jumping from deliverance to deliverance. When you are the reason why your condition is not changing. Don't you pray? Let's see Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 verse 1, 2, 3, 4. See, I want you to go to heaven. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is he a heavy that he cannot hear. This is not easy. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid God's face from you that he will not hear. He don't do. That's the reason. He didn't say that witches are disturbing you. But ancestral curse is disturbing you. He didn't say covenant with demon husband is disturbing you. He says your iniquity. And iniquity is you knowing the right thing to do and refusing to do it. That is what is called iniquity. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, break the edge. The serpent will bite you. And so we saw in Hebrews chapter 12, he said, cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses. Otherwise known as heroes of faith. The whole of chapter 11 is talking about faith. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Yes, you have not seen it, but something gives you hope. Amen. That is faith. Faith. Then they give instances of people who stood with God, stood in his word under any adversities, all adverse conditions. They stood one by one. He listed them in Hebrews chapter 11. Then he came to chapter 12 and then spoke about having them clouds of witnesses. There are so many around you. Hallelujah. He said, now lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset you. And also I can give you concerning besetting sin. People who will have achieved something in the kingdom, but because of a sin in their life, how they could not make it. They are besetting sin. And the first one that came to my mind, that always come to my mind, is the man Moses. God used Moses to let us know that he is no respecter of persons. That is witness number one. Moses. He was born a deliverer. Moses. He was the meekest man on earth concerning his testimony. The greater privilege any human being can have on earth, Moses had it. He was speaking mouth to ear. Mouth to ear. God was speaking apparently, clearly. He was even the one that saw the similitude of God. God allowed him to see his back small. The greatest privilege any human being can have before God. The greatest ministry that any human being can have, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses had it. Concerning the promised land that God gave him, a weakness he had kept him from the promise. Anger. It was anger. You say, anger, Abby? That's a witness here. You want to move forward in your Christian life, anger can pull you back. So deal with that spirit. Don't accept it. It will stop you from entering into the kingdom. No matter what position you have, Pastor Moses, no matter what pastor you are pastoring, anybody at all, God is no respecter of persons. Another witness. So, know your own now. Judas. He had all the privilege called personally by God. Jesus Christ himself called him. Had the privilege that none of other 11 disciples had. He was in charge of the money. He slept and woke up with Jesus physically. But what happened? Money. Genuine power of God upon his life. But what stopped him from entering the kingdom? It was the love of money. A lot of ministers today, a lot of brethren, ministerial side, money is what has hindered God moving in your ministry. Money is what has made you to lower the bar of the gospel. Money is what has made you to join others, to be like them, even though you know the truth. Money, 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 money. Your anointing would have been higher than that, if not for money. All you do, all you want, you think that gift is given to you for, is to eat with it. And you will pass through such a ministry like this. Watch all of them that left here. Watch all of them. All of them that left here. One by one. Every ministry they set up is man must work ministry. And they are not hiding it. Man must work. Running without any message. It's nothing like our ministry where people gather is not deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Judas had a real opportunity of being called an apostle. He was an apostle called by Jesus. Not only Judas, so. Amen. I look at Judas as him using the gospel. Praise the Lord. Because of money, that is the reason he's in the ministry. Ministry is because of money. Praise the Lord. I'm only telling you the proper order. How that spirit that of money that has come in here, they use it, they grab you. Now the effect of it is that particular minister cannot grow spiritually. So, you remain like that. At the end of it all, he carry go mountain, he prophesy for you, he go your house, he go your village, he go your office. If it is in this church, you are a member of this. If you are visiting for outside, no problem. But you are a member of this church, you will do all until at the end, they will smuggle you for back, come meet me. That's what they always do. When the thing don't tire them, then they will come and say, Daddy, there's one man who, where are they handling case? Oh? Amen. Judas, it's a spirit, it's everywhere. It was with Jesus, my brother assembly, no good. Gehazi also. Why could he not receive the mantle from Elisha? Money. It's money. It's money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not money you are pursuing, pursuing, pursuing until out of 1 year. 1 year, 1 week, 3 days itself. I mean, 2 days. 2 days, two nights, sister. For you to come here for the woman program to the in a year, you could not leave your market for 1 day to come to the presence of God. Money. Money. No, it was very busy. If within that period your mama collapsed for village, you will travel for 1 week, you will go. But when it comes to the worship of God, money, that spirit is terrible. I'm telling you. Very terrible. No wonder it is worshipped. It is a God. is part of the god of this evil age. Love of money. Love of money. And you don't know too. That's why you are also limited. You think you're a millionaire. You should have been a billionaire by now. But forward has been hindered by your attitude in that area. Gehazi. Another witness. He lost his birthright to food. Hebrews chapter 12. See? Something he looked at it as careless. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. He was warning us severally concerning the besetting sin. And when he came to verse 6, remember we picked our text from Hebrews, this same Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now in verse 16, in his admonishment, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, he said, lest there be any fornicator or profane, that is the word, a profane person as Esau, who for just one morsel of meat did what? Sold his birthright. For you know how that after all, when he will have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Listen, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It was too late. It was too late. He lost it. That's why Hebrews chapter 6, can we also screen that? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts, how we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, he said, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. See, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20.